You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look at ways we can come together to help each other minister more effectively in the Lord's kingdom. Today, we have Dr. Greg Ketterman with us. He's the Vice President for Strategic Initiatives and Graduate Dean at Welch College. He is the son of the first student to ever attend Welch College in 1942, Paul Ketterman. And he graduated a little bit after that himself in 1977 from Welch. He also has a master's in educational administration from Middle Tennessee State University, the Blue Raiders. And he's got a doctorate in educational administration from Tennessee State University. Are they the Tigers?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Tigers. And he worked for 30 years in the metro school system. He was a teacher, a coach, and a principal. And then in 2006, he came here to Welch College. And so, Dr. Ketterman, it's so good to have you here with us today. And you have you did some really important work as you were there working as a teacher and later as a principal in the administration there in the metro school system. And so we wanted to talk to you today a bit about how a teacher is really like a missionary. Mm-hmm. You guys train teachers to go into Christian schools and public schools here at Welch College, but you have the personal experience of being a teacher and an administrator later in the public school system in Metro, is it Davidson County?
Davidson County, yes.
So tell us about how a teacher, how an administrator can be a missionary in that particular area.
When I graduated in 1977, the teacher ed program at the college was very new.
Mm-hmm.
The licensure with the state, Dr. Etta Patterson and I argue about whether I was in the first class or whether it was the class of 76 that was the first class licensed. But anyway, it was one of the first classes that was licensed in Tennessee. So we actually had the credential to teach in a public school.
Mm.
And some of us did. Some mm-hmm. of us decided that that this was something that God wanted Christians to do.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't been called as ministers,
mm-hmm.
But we felt that we were called to, well, as we talk about a lot now, be salt and light.
Yes.
We didn't really express it so much that way that we would have agreed that mm-hmm. that's what we were doing, but that we had a responsibility. We could see what was happening in the public schools mm-hmm. with a lot of Christian families leaving the public schools, a lot of Christian teachers leaving the public schools. And so we felt that there was a mission field, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
In the public schools at that time.
So we're talking back the 1970s, and some of our millennials and Generation Z may be listening and saying, oh, those were the good old days. Not so,
no.
were they?
No.
Coming off of Vietnam and the impact of the 1960s and so forth. So you could see secular humanism going into the schools
sure.
at that point, and like you mentioned, some would say Christian flight from public schools. So what were some ways you all were able to be salt and light in those particular situations?
Well, obviously, the first thing that was very important to us was to live and work with integrity
mm-hmm.
so that we would be people that sort of like Daniel served.
Yes.
In a pagan bureaucracy that mm-hmm. we understood that the public schools weren't designed to necessarily, at least at that point, they had not, I don't know if I should say they weren't designed to be, because initially a lot of what happened in public schools in the United States had Christian purposes behind
mm-hmm.
it. However, at that point, certainly, public schools weren't endorsing people coming in and talking a lot about the Lord and
mm-hmm.
Attempting to influence other people, attempting to make converts and win people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we knew that the first thing would be that we lived lives of integrity, that what we did in the school, we did it with honesty, that we did it with honor,
mm-hmm.
that we did you know, everything as unto the Lord, mm-hmm. As we're told in the Scripture. We also knew that it was going to call on us to do things with excellence.
Mm-hmm.
That in order to, you know, it'd be one thing to be honest,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing to be really good at what you do,
mm-hmm.
and be an honest person. And so, and I think, again, going back to Daniel's example, it was very clear that his bosses, so to
yes.
speak, recognized that it said he had an excellent spirit.
Yes.
But it also said he was very skilled
mm-hmm.
in what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was recognized for that, and he was valued for
mm-hmm.
that, even in that pagan land. And
yes.
God used that for his glory. And so that was sort of what we... it was a very clear thought that we had at that time, that that's what we were doing.
So some of our younger people may not know that it was in this time period that prayer was removed from schools. And
right.
so in presidential elections, you would hear people say things like, we need to put prayer back in
right.
the schools. And you mentioned how schools in many ways began, you know, every day in many places. They'd have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yeah.
They would read Scripture and
yes.
so forth. When you were coming along, they were making it clear, that's not what
yeah.
you're here for. You're not here to proselytize, they might have
that's
said.
Right.
And so what I hear you saying is you go to Daniel 1, and the Scripture says that those guys were good at science. They were good at learning other languages. And you've mentioned that passage there in Daniel 6 where he had a spirit of excellence.
Yes.
And so you all went in and tried to do your best to just do a really good job as a teacher or
That's
as
right.
an administrator. I was in Cheatham County this past weekend at a wonderful restaurant there. I won't get into that. But anyway, here comes a principal there to one of the Cheatham County schools who's a Welch graduate. And he went on to get his master's at Austin Peay. But just kind of looking around that room, you could see the influence of people that went through the programs you're talking about
right.
and how they have an influence in different counties in this particular area and really throughout the country. And I was kind of struck how many of them have been teachers of the year, how many of them have gone on in the being a principal.
Yes.
And so I guess, would you say that's because of that excellent spirit coming out?
I think that's part of it, and it's probably the leading feature that
mm-hmm.
ought to be, it ought to characterize Christian educators,
mm-hmm.
is that excellent spirit. I would say that along with that, though, you know, when you have that Christian worldview,
mm-hmm.
when you understand what the Scripture says about who people are,
mm-hmm.
they're made in God's image.
Yes.
And that what we do for the least of these is significant. And so I think as a Christian educator, part of that spirit is to have genuine compassion, to really see people for who they are, to see people as loved by God,
mm-hmm.
And people that are, they're worthy of our service,
mm-hmm.
they're worthy of our investment. And that Christians ought to get that better than anybody.
Yes, yes.
So as an excellent spirit, one of the things is that how we view other people, how we view our relationships with them, and
mm-hmm.
how we view what we're doing as ministry
mm-hmm.
to other people.
So today people like to say Christians don't like this group, they don't like that. In a public school system especially, but really probably all school systems, you have lots of individuals with various disabilities and all of the things we read about in the news, this lifestyle and that lifestyle
That's right.
is always present. And so I think I hear you saying is, as a Christian, you're looking at every person as made in the image of God, trying to really be light to them, let the love of Christ come out
mm-hmm.
in what you're doing. And it sounds like you're saying that often differentiates a Christian maybe from someone that might just be well-meaning or
sure.
Becoming more concerned with the end of grade test and
That's
how
right.
this impacts my evaluation.
Yeah, there's more to it than just, you know, people are not one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There is an intellectual dimension
mm-hmm.
to people, but there is a soul.
Yes.
There's an eternal soul that matters to God, that's been created by God.
Mm-hmm.
And so our ministry to people can't just be an intellectual ministry. It can't just be an academic ministry. There's more to it than that. And, you know, the public schools, they have been able to shut out a lot of kinds of formal prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never, as far as I know, prevented me from mm-hmm. saying to a parent or to a student that mm-hmm. I'm praying for you,
uh-huh.
that I think about you, that I'm concerned about the things that you're facing. I would like to see you succeed,
mm-hmm.
And I'm asking that God will show you how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, perhaps people have been very offended by that, but none of them ever told me that in a 30-year in a 30-year career.
Right.
None of my peers ever told me that, and no students ever told me. I never had a parent that objected to that. In fact, I had parents that I knew were not believers.
Mm-hmm.
But when they had difficult situations, they were glad for me to pray for them.
They wanted some prayer, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Now let's hear from one of our partners. Are you looking to continue your education in theology and ministry, or pursue a Master of Arts in Teaching degree? Welch College offers a hybrid master's program for busy adults who can't relocate to complete a graduate degree. At Welch, you'll study under faculty members who are gifted scholars and educators with specialties in a broad range of disciplines and have real-life experience in your field of study. Learn more about the master's programs at Welch College by visiting welch.edu or calling 1-888-97-WELCH. That's 1-888-97-WELCH.
You're listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
So it's a good way to be like Daniel, have a spirit of excellence and do things well. Good way. You really talk about how you all were like light. What are some ways that being in this particular situation, one is salt as well?
Well, I think there are times when we're called on to make really hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We're called on to do things in the way that is it's legal, mm-hmm. it's proper.
Mm-hmm.
We're called on to have sound judgment and then deliver bad news sometimes to people.
Yes.
To do things that are part of our responsibility that are unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that we do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing that with not with arrogance or haughtiness or in an unfeeling way, doing it in doing it with compassion,
mm-hmm.
but yet doing what it is that we're expected to do by mm-hmm. our employer.
Yes.
By the system, by the people that we work for.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, the leader is the guy that's left holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
The leader is the one that has to make those difficult decisions. So it may be the teacher as the leader in that class that's
yes.
making those decisions. It may be the administrator in that school that's mm-hmm. making those decisions. They're difficult. And I think that is a way that we can be salt,
mm-hmm.
that we're carrying out some of the things. You know, God says that authorities and rulers are instituted by Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some measure, we're carrying out some of what God intended
mm-hmm.
to create order and things that happen in a orderly fashion in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we're doing that. And by that, God, I think, uses us as salt.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, it may come down to us having personal relationships with parents
uh-huh.
or with peers or with students, and we may tell them some things that they had never thought about, they are not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, people they're not aware of what the Scripture says
mm-hmm.
about different things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have the appropriate opportunity, we should be willing to stand up and say, we believe this is right.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't believe God created us to do this, or we
mm-hmm.
don't believe this is right as based on what we see in the Scripture. There are opportunities for us to say that,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be ready to do that.
And so that's a good way. You've got excellence, you've got light, and a way of being salt. I think about also the story of Daniel. People often ask, well, where was Daniel when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were told to bow down to this image. And people like you that's been in a secular environment sometimes think, well, he may have been sent on a trip. And that's one way that Christians are salt in these situations. Often people know we disagree with certain things, mm-hmm. like inviting a certain speaker in or a particular policy. And I think personally that's what was going on with Nebuchadnezzar. He knew Daniel wouldn't bow, and so he had him off in Ethiopia or
maybe
somewhere
so.
Else.
Maybe so.
We don't know. It's all conjecture.
Maybe he told him to stay in his room, and yeah. I wonder if Daniel wasn't praying for him
he
when
could
all
have
that
been.
Was happening.
He could have been, but yeah. that's somehow how they know we are going to disagree with something and they don't want us around,
yeah.
you know, when
yeah.
that's going to happen.
Well, you know, as you develop relationships with your peers, with people that are in your organization, with families and so forth, you have opportunities in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to, you don't attend a function in
mm-hmm.
the community.
And it
people
speaks
know,
volumes.
People know why
yes.
you didn't attend.
Yes.
Sometimes you can't do something because you have an obligation at your church.
Mm-hmm.
And people realize, well, this person has a heart and they're invested in a local church, mm-hmm. in a ministry to our community. Sometimes you're doing things with your church that other people become aware of,
mm-hmm.
that you're involved in a ministry with your church and they can hear about it. They learn about it.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't participate in things. Maybe you're at an event and there's alcohol at the event, or there
mm-hmm.
are other things that are happening at the event, and you don't participate. You don't
mm-hmm.
become a part of that.
And
you don't endorse it, and you don't participate.
Right. It's another way of being salt.
That's right. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy because there's pressure. There will
yes.
be peer pressure and pressure from the community for you to participate.
So this really is a way, if someone feels called to teach others, to help others, they don't feel like they're called into the ministry, this is a way a person could go in and to be a missionary, be on mission.
Absolutely.
Serving the Lord. It's also maybe a good avenue for folks that are in full-time ministry or that are in the pastorate to be a bivocational pastor.
I totally agree with you, as you already know.
I know that,
Brother
and,
Eddie.
And I was at a funeral this past week, and I noticed a certain person, the Ketterman, sang
yeah.
at that funeral.
Yeah.
And I was looking at your bio. For 27 years, you've been a music director there at Cross Timbers
right.
Church. So
right.
in many ways, you've been bivocational as
that's,
well.
That's true. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how that has worked as you've tried to, you've been serving there at Cross Timbers, the same church for 27 years,
yeah.
While having pretty big jobs, the job
sure.
you have here now and then before at Metro School System. How has that kind of worked, complemented each other and so forth?
Yeah. Well, I think that from the church side, I
mm-hmm.
thought of it as a way of making a contribution to my church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I could serve in a role that our church could then invest in. Our church in particular, it was so our church could invest in a youth minister.
I see.
And so rather than paying someone to do music ministry,
mm-hmm.
I filled that role.
Right.
And so my way of looking at it was, okay, I can't give these extra dollars, but I can free up dollars in our church
mm-hmm.
that can be used to hire someone part-time, and then later we did hire someone full-time
mm-hmm.
to do youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that I realized I had some gifts that God had given me
mm-hmm.
And that He was expecting me to invest those. And that was an opportunity for me to invest those gifts in my church, and so I did. The other thing that was surprising to me was how what happened in my community and my relationships with the schools was a way to really make those things real to my church.
Yes.
To the people that I was with, they knew something about the schools.
Mm-hmm.
They knew something about students. They knew something about people who worked in the schools. So that was a tremendous compliment,
mm-hmm.
and I wish I had done more
mm-hmm.
to integrate what I did with my community, with my work relations, and with my church.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had done more of that. But it's a tremendous opportunity for people to see who you really are and to bring those things together and to let the church have a greater influence on the school and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then one last thing, you and I have talked about
yes.
the fact that the state of Tennessee was actually helping out my church.
Yes, yes.
And a person who's a bivocational minister, who perhaps is a church can't afford to give them a large amount to go towards retirement.
Right.
But if they are vested in a retirement system like that, that's a burden that comes off of a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows a minister to do what I was doing, basically, mm-hmm. on a part-time basis, and yet a lot of the financial considerations, the health care insurance,
right.
those kinds of things, are covered in another way.
Yes.
So, and they're tax funds that people in that church have contributed to. So
yeah.
It's sort of a more efficient way to make use of the taxes that people pay mm-hmm. to help out the people in public service.
So as we go on, probably through time, it's going to be more and more difficult for churches to support people in full-time ministry.
Yes.
You've heard today how being a teacher, being an administrator, working in a school situation, even substituting, is
yeah.
a good way mm-hmm. to be light and salt. It's a good way to model excellence, which people are attracted to. And then you're talking about if I was just working in the schools, you don't get a lot of opportunity to sing and to design worship services. So you were kind of scratching that itch as a bivocational person really ministering. But also, the church not having to pay you was able to hire someone else,
right.
able to send more resources outside.
Right.
And you alluded to, I noticed you've been a teacher for this amount of time as well at Cross Timbers. It probably impacts your teaching. It would probably impact
yeah.
someone's preaching. A lot of things that surprise people about what's happening in the culture probably don't surprise a lot of principals
That's
and
right.
teachers because they
right.
see it every day. And so in many ways, it helps equip us to be mm-hmm. effective as we minister in our churches. So mm-hmm. something really important to think about.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Kettleman, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you, Dr. Moody.
Sharing with us. Yeah. We so appreciate your ministry
yeah.
and we just wish you Godspeed and ask that you'll continue on.